You know? Yeah, I come from Uganda. I'm a friend. I'm a spiritual father to Pastor David Katende. And, you know, this year, John? We met with John. It was a coincidence, you know. And I just bumped into him. He was in a meeting. Thank you for visiting us. May the Lord bless you. This church is a great blessing to us. As a ministry, it has been a blessing to us. And also, you have a great ambassador, Malcolm. Malcolm has been working with us. I lead Christian Race Social Ministries International. It's involved in church planting, but also helping out poor communities. It's over now, maybe 12 or 13 years since we've been working with Malcolm and this church. We have had so many sponsors from this church who sponsor our kids. We want to thank you so much. I remember when I used to come here, we had a vision to build a school. Every time we came here, people were asking, hey, John, has the school started? Has the school started? 5 years ago, the school started. Very beautiful school, good school. I hope next time when John comes, whoever comes to Uganda, please visit us, because Bombo, where I'm staged, is part of here, because this church and the members of this church did a tremendous work to see us being helped. So you are part of us. Father, I want to thank you for this moment, this morning. What a wonderful worship. Thank you for Brother John for choosing quite a number of good songs. Father, thank you for stirring at us, stirring our spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 5 minutes, I'll share my testimony because I have new faces here, not seen before, and to know who I am and how far I've come with the Lord. But we're going to share one of the things I want to thank God that this morning, the two songs were confirming the message that God has told me to share with you. Two songs about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, how His majesty, His, you know, thank you, John, for being in the spirit, because all these selections of songs were really in the spirit, because we didn't meet each other. We didn't even plan the preaching. What are you going to preach? Because most times you plan out the preaching. What are you going to preach? What are the songs we're going to do? This is God, because the songs came without even planning. Can you clap for that? Yeah. So I got saved. I came to the Lord in 1982, and I was a Muslim. I was born in an Islamic family. My father had over 7 wives, and we were about 40 kids, you know, from 7 wives. I don't know whether you have a family like that here. That will be maybe an extended family, but this was our family from my father. He died 12 years ago. But I was born, because of that environment, I was born with a hole on my heart. And because of the challenges at home, because my father could not last with his wives, so my mother was the second wife. So she left home at the age when I was 2 years, and we went with her. And for me, I don't know what they call a father. In fact, for me, when my kids give me gifts because I've been a great father, I have a wife and 5 kids. We are celebrating 25 years this year in December. Come on. I have done a great job. So, but, you know, that's how, now 5 kids, and so now my kids have been praising me, you're a good father, and I always, how did I, because I never grew up with my father. You know, this is not just like divorce, that kids could go to the father and then go to the mother. For me, once my mother left the home, in Uganda, you have to pay school fees, you have to do everything, as you know, but my father never paid school fees, so my mom was selling. He was in the market, and when you talk about market here, maybe you may not understand. These are, you know, people gather small things together, maybe the green banana, peas, and all that. My mother, I honor her. She's 86 this year. She, you know, she's my hero. She struggled in and paid school fees, but again, because I was sick, I was always sickly, off and on, off school, in school, and out of school. At the age of 17, my my situation deteriorated. You know, I was, my sickness, my health was really bad. And in Uganda, even up to now, these high-tech kind of medical facilities are not there to treat the heart, the problems of the heart. So I was left to die. And one day, a young man told me about church. Say, Jesus is alive and well. For me, my concept about God, I knew Allah and Christianity. My mother was a Christian, but I never went to church. So I used to hear people talk about God, 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 God. You know, preachers talk about God. Mwarim is a name for preacher in Islam, talk about God. So I didn't see God near to me. I just saw God far away, you know, talking about God. God will do this. But now this young man says, if we take you to church, they will pray for you. Of course, this is a long story, and it took me time to believe a Muslim to come to the church. So I came to the church. When I came to the church was full. And when you talk about church structures, dust. Today, things have changed in Uganda, maybe, in some places. But those days, that's the time, 1982, there's a leader called Idi Amin. I know even young kids know about that, this history about Uganda, that dictator, had banned all Pentecostal churches. So 1979, he was removed out of power. So now the church started coming up. So people were fellowshipping under the trees, in the pubs, wherever there was a space, that's where church was. So this church was, the walls were like Africa. The walls were papyrus, you know, papyrus, I don't know, you know, not even bricks. And, you know, so bad. So I found so many people praying, raising their hands, crying and sobbing. Just look like this. What's happening? Because is this a disco? Because people were because in Africa, we don't just we dance. You know, John knows. You know, and Malcolm, we really hit it. We yeah, praise the Lord. So people were dancing and jumping. I say, what? I have never seen this, because in Anglican church where my mom comes from, people are not dancing in the mosque. No dancing. This was a strange thing to see, a place of worship and people are jumping like in disco, because I used to be in disco as a young man. I used to, howdy push, hot. So I used to go those kind of music. I was very good at that, could dance and twist my legs, my whatever. But it is, people were doing like the same. I was so amused. So the man of God said, there's a man of here, the young man here, you're a Muslim, and you are sick. God want to, I remember these two words. 36 years ago, I remember these two words. God wants to save you and send you. Mm-hmm. I don't know about word of knowledge. I thought he was talking about somebody else. Then he says, you. I look back like this. You know, because I was new. I didn't know about word of knowledge. That somebody can be here and knows what about you. What concerns about you. So I was staring, and then the man of God said, you. Anyway, I hesitated. I thought maybe this is a tactic they use, maybe, to win people. So I stood still. Friends, as I stand on this holy podium, as I stood still, I started hearing my feet shaking. I held back. The more I held back, the more I was losing ground. And you know, I just fell down. You know, today, when people are falling, there are people who are ready behind to hold them. By then, nobody was holding me. It was new. And you know, I fell on the floor. After 3 hours, I woke up. When I woke up, 2018 now, from 1982, 36 years, I didn't feel any pain. I didn't feel any body ache. I screamed. I jumped. Now, I was more crazy than the people I found there. Then I realized it's because I didn't know, or I had not the heavenly, as the songs were, that the heavenly God had not touched me. I started screaming. I remember, poor as I was, I felt the joy. That 6 years ago, that joy cannot be traded with any joy. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know how to explain in English. Excuse me. The joy I felt even up to now, you know, there are certain things I used to admire and say, if I got that thing, I'll be happy. Being poor, you know, when you're poor, you admire everything. You admire everything because in Africa we grow with nothing. We grow up with nothing. To eat, to have milk, it's like, even if people pray for milk in Africa, people pray for dairy food, people pray for everything. That's why in Africa there's a lot of prayer. Because everything you need to pray. Government will not give you, even if you work hard, even if you're educated, still you don't have a job that will suit your education. So people pray. So I have received things that I prayed for, but still nothing can be compared with that joy. And that's the reason why I serve. For me, I serve God without any charge. And you know, from that time, the joy of the Lord came to my heart, and I made a vow. I remember that day, standing in that papyrus church, dusty church, I said, I will never do any other job. I'm going to serve the Lord. And for the presence of God, I thank him before you. I've stood before, I've gone to missions, China, different continents, and this is the same word I speak to people, different audiences, young and old, you know, whatever, toddlers. I've preached everywhere. This week I've been going to schools, I've been to Katmer, I've been to over 7 schools in your nations now, because I feel like this time I want to talk to young generations that are going to change this country. So I had a chance to go to different schools. But the same thing I'm sharing, that God is alive. God, the Bible says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, our politics is changing things. Today, the social status is changing. People are believing things that we've never heard of. But one thing that remains, the word of God stands sure. The word and the principle and the truth. Somebody said, you can bury the truth for some time. You can put a lot of heap of sand on the truth. Hey, you can even put stones, huge stones on the truth. You know, deception is good. Deception has a lot of, you know, I don't know, lipstick. Deception is very amusing. Everybody will follow deception. We hear, you can see on your screen every day, every day on your screens, they are deceiving us. This kind of thing, when you buy it, you're going to have this. When you drive this car, it's a deception. It's very, and everybody want to follow. That's what amazes me. People want to follow deception. And they like it. They enjoy it. And they think it's truth. But let me tell you this. Truth is truth. Jesus was buried first day, second day. On the third day, truth rose up. Come on, clap your hands for that. And the Romans told the soldiers, they paid them and said, never say that he's risen. The more they did it today, when you go to China, do you know that China today, even though China is Antichrist, do you know that the biggest number of Christians now in China? There are over 280 million Chinese who are saved. In the Arab world today, the wars that are happening in the Middle East, for some reasons, God has entered the Middle East in the way you don't understand now. However much you bury the truth, that's why for me, when I speak the truth, I don't care, because I know truth will prove itself. Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Friends that are here, I come to encourage you this morning, continue in the truth. Maybe the status, maybe the people around you will not look at you as though you are crazy. Maybe your grandchildren may not understand that. Maybe, but one thing I can tell you, truth will remain the truth. I have been on the truth 36 years. My children, all my children now I'm now this coming month in December I'm going to become a grandfather because I have a kid of 30 years. But all my kids are in ministry. All of them are in ministry. I have told them, I've not forced them. My kids, the youngest is going to be in university next year. They're in music now. This our Sunday today, all of them are, they're ministering and they're preaching. One thing I want to see God before I die is to see that the presence of God, the glory of God is shared among the nations. So can you clap for that testimony? Quickly, please, because of time, and you know we use it very well, we need to understand the times we are living in. The title is Understanding the Times. Can you say with me? Understanding the Times. And with this, when we talk about this subject, for the Europeans or the British, you understand time. Maybe Africans don't understand time somehow. You know, when you come to Africa, Malcolm knows that. If somebody comes, the service starts at 10, people will come at 11:30. But here, everywhere I've gone, people knew the importance of time. Now, and maybe, I don't know why, maybe because of the seasons. You have springs, you have autumn, and you? Summer and winter. And you know, one time last year, I was here in the times of winter. When I went to the shops, everything had changed. Okay? All the shopping malls, you see coats, black coats. Even when people are putting on, when they're coming out, you see a different nation. I enjoy to see people in the trains, in the walking, whatever. You see everybody's, including me. I had to put on a jumper. In Africa, I don't put on a jumper. Now I have mine here because of time. You know, when you do not understand, if you fail to understand the times, maybe you'll die in a season of winter. So when I speak this subject, I think it suits you, the British or the Western people, the people who have been knowing, valuing about time. Time is very important because if you fail to know it, then you are going to have challenges. The analogy of time, the time is, we want to say this, that in Romans chapter 11, sorry, 13, Romans 13, that's a key scripture. No, Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 13. Romans 13, verse 11 to 13. Understanding the times. And do this, knowing the time. Paul was writing to the Romans audience. And do this, knowing the time. Mm-hmm. Mark the word time. And now is high time. He's mentioning time the second time. Say it again. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time. It's so repetitive. And do this, knowing the time, and that it is high time. Second thing mentions about to wake out of a sleep. For now, again, it says also now, it's also the time. So two things are mentioned here. And do this, knowing the time, comma, that now it is high time. Again, it's mentioning time. So the key word there was time. To awake out of sleep, for now, the time, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. 12. The night is first spent. The night, in this regard, the night represents the time, the duration that the time this earth has stayed. The night represents a period of decades of times we've been there. He says, the night is first spent. The day is at hand. He talks about, now look up here, he talks about the night and the day. The night represents the present world. The night. In other words, the night is first spent. And then he mentions another thing. The day is at hand. The day is representing another world. So where we are, the world where we are today, hallelujah, the world which you and I live today is warning out. Look at the global warming today. Look at today, the seasons have changed. I don't know whether it has not changed here, but in our country, things have changed. The environment, today people, yesterday we were marching in London, maybe, you know, marching for environment. The world is becoming worn out. Everything is worn out.
not only the environment, the trees are crying, the birds are crying, the environment is crying because it's worn out. It has been destroyed by greed and all sorts of things. It's not only the natural things, but also the morals. Morals are worn out today. For those of you who are here 50, 70 years ago, when you see what is happening, if Smith Wigglesworth, if the founder of Elim Pentecostal Church, if the founder of all those movements, if they wake up today from their sleep, if the founder of the Wesleyans, if the founder, if Charles Giffini wake up today, if Lewis rose from the grave today and say, hey, I want to start where I ended, he will be crying. Everything is worn out. Yes, we think everything is okay, but if you look into the, don't even to use magnifying glasses, barely on our TVs every day. Whatever you see, everything is worn out. The moral decadence is not only in Europe, but in Africa. Everything, our cultures, our traditions, good traditions have been violated. Everything is under attack. You know why? They are looking for the day. Everything is worn out. Everything is gone off. You see, everything, pollution, food, the foods we eat today, how many kinds of sickness we have today as a result of food? The things that we never got, the sickness we never heard of about, we have them today because of the system that is in the food industry, in the meat industry, the things they feed us, some of the drugs we get, kind of things, everything is polluted. Everything is gone. And we tend to think, it's okay. It's all right. It's not all right. It's not okay. Something's going wrong. People, I was reading the history of America and UK, United Kingdom. You guys, two countries here, maybe other countries, but the most popular countries, America and United Kingdom. They were started, the foundation of America and the foundation of United Kingdom was started by Christians. Okay? From Israel, the Bible was interpreted. It was used to be in Hebrew, but it was interpreted by your king, the king of England interpreted the Bible from the unknown language to the language that God has blessed, the English. Everywhere, English, Russia, Asia, English. Why is your language was blessed? Your language was blessed because you promoted God. Righteousness exalts a nation. And when righteousness comes down, everything, the economy comes down. That's why the economy is now struggling. People are struggling with bills today. Why? Because the foundations has been tampered with. The Bible says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's why today, all the people that live in the right living, churches are suffering. There are so many laws, even in my country, that are being enforced by IMF in our countries to support things that favors the greed, the immoral greed, the physical greed, the mental greed of our other bigger nations. Everything is worn out. And that's why the Lord told me, stop preaching other things. Tell my people, I'm coming. We are closer, my brother, we are closer to the day than the night. The night is fast spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, as I close, because the day is at hand, Jesus is coming back. If you have ever traveled by air, listen to these words which the captain says when the plane is 2 hours or 1 hour and a half to land. Cabin crew. Thank you for flying. Elim Airlines. Hallelujah. We are 10 hours or 5 hours to reach today. Our destination, the weather is like this, blah, 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 all sorts of things. Hello? And then it says, cabin crew, prepare for landing. Put your luggage in the upper locker. Put your chair upright. Switch off your radio gadgets. Open the windows. Yes, because when the plane is landing, you need to make sure that these windows, it has to be clear, not you have to pull up those things that covers the windows. Now, not opening the windows, of course. I don't know how they call them. The slides. Yeah, you slide upper so that it will be clear. So four things happen. Cabin crew prepare for landing. Cabin crew are the pastors in this case. The pilot is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that Jesus gave us to take us to heaven. He helps our infirmities. Even if you have a sickness, you know, disease, or you have a sin, Holy Spirit helps you to overcome that habit. So the Holy Spirit is now in control because he says, when I go, I'll send the Holy Spirit. Today, we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in charge of the plane. The night is going, but the Holy Spirit is in charge. And now the Holy Spirit is saying to the pastors, prepare. You are the customers. You are the passengers going to heaven. Hallelujah. And says, prepare for landing. In other words, begin to tell people, share with them. Let everybody be serious what we are doing. We no longer have time. We no longer have time. The time is gone. You know, I have 70 years, but 70 years, they is also gone. If you're 80, it's gone. If you're 20, every day. What's your name, sir? Stephen, every day you live, you are reducing. Did you know that? Malcolm, every passing day you breathe, you are passing on. Don't think that you are still here. Every passing day, and that's why when people die, what do they say? What word do they use? He has passed on. Every day. For me, I'm now 53. Okay? 53. When I look back, there are things I used to do, now I'm no longer doing. There are so many signs in our bodies that shows the body is worn out. Some of us used to dance, you can no longer dance. Some of you used to have sugar, you can no longer have sugar. The system is gone. Now, all my hair was black. Okay? Today my hair, you can see what is happening. The hair is running away from that day. What I should say. If you see the photographs of my, when I was still young, I used to have very big, huge hair. But my hairs have gone to heaven. Some people now used to walk very smart, but now you walk like this. Why are you walking? Because there are certain things that have already gone, which shows you, even if you say you are still here, oh, I love here, I want to be here, oh, I love my bed. I tell you, every passing day, there is something passing on. It's a sign to show you, hey, come on, prepare yourself. Don't say I'm here forever, even if you're 15 years. A question, Philip. When a baby is 2 years, if you want to ask somebody their age, what do you speak in English? 10 years old. Come again?
It's 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
10 years old.
1 year? 2 years, so by the time you were born, you were already becoming old.
Yeah.
I don't want to be old. How old are you? And then a 1 year say, I am 1 year old. In other words, the day you were born, you were towards heaven. So what does that mean? Should I think about heaven? No. Since you are a Christian now, heaven is settled for. Begin to live a life according to the destination where you're going. Now, the Bible says that because the day is at hand, therefore, let's cast off the works of darkness and let us put the armor of light and let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness or in wickedness, lust, not in strife or envy. I'm done in the next 2 minutes. The Bible says clearly, no, it's not forcing you. You know, the grace of God saved us. And the grace of God maintain us. I love grace. By grace, we are saved. Can you clap for that? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Come on. By grace, we are also helped to overcome our weaknesses. Grace saves us. Grace helps us through our weaknesses. It doesn't leave us to do what we want to do, but it gives us power to overcome our weaknesses. And grace takes us to heaven, not by power, not by might. Nobody can be righteous. Nobody can leave smoking, if that's the case. Nobody can leave whatever the habit by himself. It's by grace, the Holy Spirit. And grace is Jesus. And grace is the Holy Spirit. He helps us. So one thing I want to tell you, I'm not here to intimidate you. I'm here to just say, fellow comrades, fellow passengers, the Holy Spirit is saying, prepare for landing. And you know, two things as I close. If you've been deported from a country to another country, to your country, you can't expect to land very well because you don't expect anybody to wait for you because you are deported. But you are going to a country where you want, there are people waiting for you. Are you going to be deported or you are expecting to see Jesus at the end of the day? It's a challenge I'm giving you today. Let us live. God has given us pastors, elders. Don't just have a nice church here and say, oh, we have a beautiful church to prepare us. Every passing day, look yourself in the mirror. And what is the mirror? The mirror is not your pastor. Nobody has to judge you. The mirror is the word of the Lord. I like women. I like my wife. Every time, in their bags, in the bathroom, everywhere. Thank for our women. Beautiful women. And that's a woman. So also, as a church, every time, if you go to the shop, place of work, don't leave your Bible behind. How do I talk? How do I look? Stephen, everywhere you go, as a young man, you have to have your Bible, not in your bag, but in your heart. Jesus is coming. I just want to pray this morning. Before you close your eyes, I want your eyes to be open. He's coming. Is there... What's your name, sister?
Maria.
Maria. Is that your husband? The day he married you, were you angry? Were you angry? Were you excited about marrying you or you angry? Yeah. So now, Jesus is coming. And who is the bride? The church. And you shouldn't be worried. He's coming. Jesus is coming. Oh, I'm scared. Oh. When I remember when I was married, John, I don't know how you felt when I was marrying my wife. Oh, my goodness. I said, oh, my God. I had been a Christian for 10 years, and, you know, if you're a true Christian, no sex before marriage and all sorts of things, and I was waiting for my wife. I want to get my wife. Oh, I don't even remember what the pastors taught me. You know, those 3 months of teaching, I don't remember. I don't remember because I was looking forward for my beautiful Sarah. As I close, let us all stand up and wait for our Jesus cheerfully and strongly shout hallelujah. Come on, he's coming. Can you stand up and say, he's coming, let him come. Even if things have gone wrong, Jesus is here to give us strength. Hallelujah. He's coming. He's our husband, he's our leader. One day, Steve, we shall be there. But before we get there, we have something to do here. Let's preach the gospel. Let's work hard. Let's help the poor. Let's be good Christians. Let's be active, good Christians. Because it's not about to focus about his coming, but also to prepare for him. As he's coming, we need to do some work here. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to pray a prayer as I close, that God will give us strength to stand and also understanding the times. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for this beautiful church. Thank you for the selection of songs that really suited the gospel that I was going to teach, Lord. Thank you for our brother John. Thank you for the elders, Lord. I pray for all of us, including me, Lord, that all of us will be cheerful about your coming, Lord. Knowing that we are coming, or we're going tomorrow, but anytime, Father God. But before we go, Lord, we want to be good and strong Christians, to be people and believers who are going to make a difference on the earth. We don't care about about the wearing of the world. All what we care about is that the day we will manage, Lord. Give us strength to go through whatever has, you know, everything has worn out. The moral decadence, everything, Lord, we pray to give us grace. Pray for our kids. Pray for our grandchildren, Lord. We pray for our sons and daughters who are in the world. We pray for our believers, our friends that have gone away from the Lord because of fear and all that, Lord. For God has given us freedom. Let us walk in that freedom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I declare to you a week of freedom in the name of the Lord. Whatever you do, do as a son of man, a son of God, believing, hey, anytime you can come, but you find me happy, dancing, shouting in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless your country, bless everything in Jesus' name.